Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for your word. Lord, please help me to relax. After all, you do know who you've called, and you know who you have brought here. And we all have come today to hear from you. So, Lord, open our hearts and open our ears to hear from you, from your word, and let us be changed by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text is in John chapter 14. This is, I want to use this for a little bit of background before we actually get into the sermon text. Jesus is sitting with his disciples, with the 12, having Passover, and he's just told them that he's going to go away, and they're kind of troubled by this. And Peter has, you know, proclaimed boldly that he will not let anything happen to Jesus, that he's ready to die for him. And Jesus has told Peter that that's not how it's going to be. And now there's still this discussion going on. And Jesus tells them at the very beginning of chapter 14, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So here in this discussion, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to leave them. And this causes them some trouble. They've spent a great deal of time with him over the last few years. And they know that he teaches in a way that's so much different from everybody else. And in him are the words of life. And they've been just drinking this in through these years, you know, that this time that they've spent with him. They've been so blessed by it. They can't imagine going back to living life any other way. And so they're troubled by it. And they're also troubled by it because obviously, being that Jesus is their rabbi, their teacher, you know, someone who they have great respect for and whom they love, they don't want to see him come to harm. And Jesus says, "Don't worry, you know where I'm going." And Thomas says, "We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? We have no idea where you're going. How can we know the way there?" "Don't worry, Thomas. I am the way. Jesus is the way." You know, and in this world today, there, and really throughout time, there have been many who have been looking to other sources for fulfillment. I talk with this guy on a pretty regular basis who is always telling me about Buddhist philosophy. And he talks about religion and different worldviews as if it's a way, like a path to enlightenment. And he sees these as being like tools that he uses for his own self-improvement. But the problem is that he's lost. He's trying to fix the problem from the wrong direction. He realizes within himself the fallenness and the brokenness. But instead of realizing his need for God, he thinks he can fix it up himself. And not only that, what's worse is in some ways he almost denies the brokenness altogether in thinking that he was born a good person to begin with, and that he has within himself a way to be good. And this is wrong. This is prideful. It is impossible for man to just fix up the outside and to be good. And it's because he doesn't know the way. He doesn't realize that Jesus is the way, the only way. That in him is life. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. That he is what is really real. He is reality. You know, many times in our life, we end up coming into a lot of different stresses, and these things, they bother us. And usually, a lot of times, that stress and the things that bother us, it's caused by not realizing the truth, not realizing reality. You know, and we can get so bogged down by looking at this one aspect in life, this one thing, and it might be a complete lie. And sometimes that's a lie about something that we believe about ourselves. Sometimes it's a lie that we believe about another person or another situation. Or sometimes it's just not believing the truth that God has a handle on this situation too. And that just as he has been our provider in the past, just as he has always provided a way out, he will provide a way out of this situation too. So this way, he's not only the way to heaven, he is also the way right now. He is the way to peace within our souls. Not just peace about our daily life situation, but also peace about our brokenness. And peace about the assurance that we have in him, that in him we have life and we have hope in the resurrection. Not even death can hurt us. And now we have our sermon text here, John 14, verses 8 through 27. We read in the name of our Lord. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. It suffice. It will suffice. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of my own self, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whosoever ye shall ask, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of the Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself unto him. Judas saith unto him, not Judas Iscariot, another Judas, says, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. When I was a child, I had this opinion of God that he was so far away. I had this opinion of him that he was almost out of reach. And it's strange because I remember being really young and not necessarily having that opinion. I saw him as being closer and always watching over me and in a more intimate and loving way. But as I got older, maybe it was sin. I don't know, maybe it was me seeing my own corruption. It made me start to feel more distant from God. And I saw God the Father as being someone who was far away from me and who was judgmental towards me. I saw him being someone who was austere, who wasn't necessarily loving and of a soft heart. I really saw the God that seems to be depicted in the Old Testament. But all throughout human history, I'm not the only one to have struggled with this, all throughout human history, many people have had this wrong opinion about who God is. And even the children of Israel, after God did such amazing works to bring them out of Egypt, they turned and made an image of a calf and worshipped it as though it was God. And they had a wrong opinion about who God was. And Jesus is with his disciples. He tells them that they have seen the Father. And Philip says, show us the Father. Jesus says, you have seen him. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So if we want to understand who God is and what he is like, we can read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where God comes to us in human form. And what does he do when he is here? But he reaches out to the humble and to the poor. And he teaches everyone from all classes, all societies. He tells them about who God is. And he tells them to change their mind, to repent, to change their way of thinking about who God is, to not see him as someone. See, it's strange because in one way we do fear him. In the same way that on the West Coast, you can go out to the ocean and you can go out to these beautiful rocky cliffs and you can stand there and the ocean waves, they crash against those cliffs. And they spray up, the water sprays up the sides of these cliffs and it will mist your face if you're standing there. And while you're standing there, it is a glorious sight, but it is also something to be afraid of. And in that same way with God, it is a glorious sight. He is beautiful and he loves us. And he's also so powerful and so strong that he is something to be afraid of, but in a different kind of way, in a way that makes you feel more alive. And so he teaches them not to be afraid of him in the way of of seeing him as someone who's waiting for them to mess up to punish them, but instead to see him as a loving father who wants a relationship with them, because that is what will lead us to repentance. That is what will free us from our sin so that we can have a relationship with him. And he heals people. And he runs himself ragged to the point where he needs to get away from everybody to try to get a break, and then still doesn't because of the needs of the people. If you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? See, sometimes I think it's easy to hear that, but do we believe it? Do we really believe that Christ and the Father are one? That as Christ has shown his love for us and shown it for us in the greatest way possible, that he paid our sin debt by dying the death that we deserve. You know, there is no way that we could ever work our way to God. And that friend of mine who I mentioned earlier, it's not as though he is trying to work his way to God. The problem is he thinks that he himself is God in a way. But many people are trying to work their way to God through different religious practices. But Christianity says, no, you cannot work your way to God. Instead, God came to you. So do we believe it? Do we believe that that is the way that the Father has loved us? He says, if you believe it, then greater works, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when we ask these things in his name, meaning when we ask them as his ambassadors, when we ask them according to his will and what he wants, he's going to work through those. He's going to work through that to do them so that the Father would be glorified. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Sometimes, when thinking about the day of Pentecost and thinking about how we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, this morning I was thinking, I am really glad that it is the day of Pentecost. And I mentioned that to Joshua, and he said, oh, because you have a lot of material for the day of Pentecost? And no, that's not it, unfortunately. Fortunately, that's not it. The reason why is because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and so I can depend on the Holy Spirit to work. So I'm thankful that it is the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us, and that we have him, that we have his leading, that we can trust in him. Because I know that there is many times in our lives where we need him, where we need his leading. My mom has told me stories, and I remember them because I was a part of them, and times where she was not only worried about my future success as an adult, but about my temporary well-being and safety of what I was doing. And she would pray, and God would reveal things to her, and she would call me out on them, and I would argue against her because I was thinking, there's no way she could know about this. And in my sinfulness, I'd want to rebel. And then I'd go to my room after being punished for it, and I would think, how did she find out? And it's because God revealed it to her. There's no other way to explain it. And so we can trust in him to do that. And really, if we love him, we will keep his commandments, because in my rebellion, it's as though I didn't think that my mom knew what was best, as though she had really what was more fun and more enjoyable for life in general. That's what she had at heart. She wanted me to be happy and to do well and to have joy in life. She didn't want me to suffer in the same ways that she had seen some of her friends suffer or she herself suffer. And that is why she was, you know, correcting me in those situations and calling me out on things. It was for my own good. And really, if I believed that that was for my own good, it would make it a lot easier not to want to rebel, not to want to do those things. And so when we love him, when we believe him, it changes the way that we live, because if you believe that he is good and that he wants what's best for you, then there's less of a reason to rebel. And still, our flesh does. Our flesh rebels. Our flesh desires the things that are terrible for us. But it's easier to recognize that as sin, to recognize that as being dead, as being something that Christ died for, and then to go on and live in the love that he has for us and in the life that he has for us. And he says in verse 16, "And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I shall not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also." Speaking of the resurrection, that because Christ was raised from the dead, we also will live. "At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, and loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." So this love that we have for him, it causes us to keep commandments, but really, how is it that we are keeping them? Because of him dwelling in us and working through us to keep these commandments and to do his work. "And Judas saith unto him," not Judas Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" And you read this, and the first time I read it, I thought Jesus didn't answer his question. But listen, because Jesus answers his question. Judas's question is, how is it that you will manifest yourself? How is it that you will show yourself to us, but not to the world? Jesus says to him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." So how is it that he shows himself to us and not to the world? When we love him, we keep his commandments, and he and the Father make their abode with us. "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. In the world which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. The words that ye hear are not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The Holy Spirit works through us. He brings things to remembrance. He brings God's word to remembrance. And how does he bring it to remembrance? It helps if we know the word, if we continue to stay in it. It gives him more to bring to our remembrance, because then there's something to actually recall there. But he's telling his disciples here, you don't have to worry that I'm leaving you, because you will have the Holy Spirit. You will have God in you. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, he is called the forgotten God, because it seems as though we hardly ever speak of him. And sometimes when we speak of him, we even take away his personhood and call him it. But he works in us. And the reason why it is so easy to forget about him is because he works in us to remember Christ and Christ's teachings. He works in us to glorify God. And so he is not concerned with glorifying himself, but rather bringing to our remembrance what we have learned from Christ, what we have learned from God's word. And he is concerned with glorifying our Father in heaven. And Jesus says, peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There is peace in knowing the way, in knowing the truth and the life. Sometimes, for me, I don't know about for you, maybe I'm different in this way, but sometimes it seems like I can get stressed, worrying about different things in life, worrying about my agenda and what I have to do, worrying about wondering whether or not I'm doing it well and being faithful to what I've been given. Or worried about whether or not I will succeed at one thing or another. Or worried about whether or not I'm making the right decisions. And in those moments, I think, well, at least there's one thing that I do know. At least I know the way, the life, and the truth. At least I know Christ. And I know that he has died for me. And I know that I can trust in that. I know that that is what I can put my hope in. And sometimes in those moments, it seems like the only thing that I know is that I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and maker of earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, where he sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from thence he will come to judge the quick and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe that he is dwelling in me. And the Holy Christian Church, and I'm so thankful for the fellowship that we have here, that we can gather together and encourage one another in God's word. And in the resurrection, in the life to come, when Christ will come back and put everything back to right, when the world will finally make sense. And by the world, I mean our life. Life will finally make sense. And that is what we put our hope in. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And that is the peace that we have. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for that peace that we have. The peace in knowing who you are, who Christ is, and what he has done for us. We ask that we would continue to chew on this, continue to meditate on it for weeks to come. That we'd continue to be blessed by the hearing of your word, by fellowship, and by resting in the knowledge of your saving grace. And that we would live by faith, not after our own flesh, but for you, Lord. That we would put to death the works of the flesh, Lord. that we would consider ourselves dead. Dead to our evil desires, and alive in you, and see that you are living in us and working in us. And that you would be glorified. To you be all the glory, for your name's sake. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.